You're listening to a Rhino.com podcast. Yes, you are.
And now, direct from the Better Late Than Never file, the Rhinocast proudly presents Bob Lefsetz.
I had to let you wait until it got slow there again and quiet. Just unbelievable. Hey, it's Bob Lefsetz here on the weekly. It used to be weekly, now semi-RhinoCast. It's May 22nd. I don't know when you're going to hear this, but it's a very bizarre day here in Los Angeles because it is raining out. I just got my car washed yesterday. I never get my car washed, and I made the mistake of buying a black car. Never buy a black car, unless maybe you have a limousine or a Mercedes-Benz somebody's driving you around in. Because if you get one little speckle of water from the sky, it looks terrible. Used to be they gave you a rain check, an actual orange thing. When I used to get, I remember going to this car wash, Sunset Car Wash on Sunset Boulevard, and the big thing was they were the first place that recycled the water, which is a really big deal now. But they gave you a little piece of paper, said rain check, just in case it did rain. I didn't get the rain check, and I'm too busy. I'm out $15. That's what a cheap motherfucker I am. Anyway, that was Mr. Tinker Train. I'd let that place in that fantastic. I had no interest in it. That's Ozzy Osbourne. The first Black Sabbath album came out when I was in college. This is pre-internet days. I could tell you exactly how old I am, but you'll know from what I'm going to tell you, assuming you can do a little math. So the only link to reality I have is Rolling Stone, where they review this album, Black Sabbath. Okay, and I see it in the radio station before I get canned from the radio station, because if you're really good, the powers that be, they basically put you on lunar rotation like once every other week, and finally you give up. That was when, boy, I'm really getting deep into it today. You know, when I was a freshman, the juniors ran the radio station. I had two shifts. I had the Saturday morning shift when everybody listened. It was great. They end up moving on. New people who know me or more of my contemporaries take over. Well, you could be on every other week on Thursday afternoon. Fuck you. Where are those people today? Listen to me. Listen to my attitude. Anyway, the album comes out, really bad review, and you hear it sludge, and you forget about it. And you have, as I say, there's no internet, there's no cable TV. Certainly we're not where I am. There's really no radio other than the radio station. College students are too hip to play Black Sabbath. So you're like in a black hole, and then you get exposed to it, and you say, this is a joke. And then Ozzy Osbourne is no longer with Black Sabbath. The fact they end up working with Ronnie James Dio is really pretty weird. But He moves on, and he gets the guitarist from Quiet Riot to play with him. Who could care less? Okay. Not only did the guy have hits, we used to have two stations right next to each other here in LA, KMET and KLOS. KLOS still exists. 94.7 and 95.5. You could just roll the dial back and forth, and I'd have to roll the dial because I had this Blaupunkt cassette player back before people even got rid of their 8-tracks, and it had no push buttons because it'd have to fit in the space. They couldn't fit the push buttons and still have it fit in the dash. As it was, they installed it in my car, and the stick wouldn't stay in third. Big hassle. The guy said, you wanted a cassette player. Damn right I wanted a cassette player. You have to drive cross country. You're not going to listen to the damn radio. But I would hear these different songs on the radio, and what I didn't realize was I kind of knew Ozzy's material, but I hated it. And then I was working a project, and I remember the PR guy, he also represented Ozzy Osbourne, was very excited, used to work at Epic Records, and he said, oh, the new Ozzy project, gave me the double LP, live LP. One day, I literally threw it out. I wish I had it today. What if somebody came to my house and they saw that I had an Ozzy Osbourne record? I would lose all credibility. Time goes by, Randy Rhoads is killed, and Ozzy seems to be fading, and my good buddy Jeff Lauffer calls me. Can you get tickets to Ozzy at what is now called the Gibson Amphitheater, but was then called the Universal Amphitheater in Universal City? Not very far from where we're doing this podcast right now. I would say I could throw a stone, but maybe, you know, if you're playing golf, you can hit it in a couple of shots. Assuming, you know, you had pretty good technique. And I think I got a relationship with Epic. I can, you know, I can get us those tickets. So I have the CD because they send you the CDs before you can steal everything online. And I play it, and this one song sticks out. Now, you, if you watched MTV back in 1991, 92, you know that song, No More Tears. But this was before it had any action, whether it be on the radio or MTV. I put the CD in my drawer and I crank it because it's kind of music. You got to play loud. And the song, you know, this is fantastic. So I get kind of excited. I'm going to go see Ozzy. And I meet Jeff at his house up in Laurel Canyon, and we go to the Gibson Amphitheater. You know, it's like people came out of the goddamn woodwork. People you don't see anywhere. They're here at the Ozzy Osbourne show. I'd be creeped out, but Universal City is pretty safe. Ozzy comes on. It's like I'm at a revival meeting. I had no clue What was going on here? First of all, everybody in the audience knows every song and knows the material. They're waving their arms in the air during Mr. Crowley. I'm actually waving my arms right now. You think this is a video podcast. That's how excited I am about it. And he's constantly throwing water over everybody and throwing over himself. I'm like, it's like springtime for Hitler. I cannot believe this. You know, this is fucking great. You know, I'm sort of speechless after Jeff's like, I was doing him a favor, getting him tickets. Suddenly, I got to go home and play the record. And the track that gets to me, the next track, is this. I Don't Want to Change the World. I almost can't stop it because there's the rock and roll ethic right in that damn little song. I don't want to change the world. I don't want the world to change me. This is post-60s. This is post-peace, love, we could change the world. I don't think we could change the world, but the goddamn world can't change me. If I want to get an abortion, if I want to smoke pot, if I want to jerk off, I don't want anybody looking. I don't want anybody checking in. All these people, holier than thou, you know, the religious nuts who've gotten their abortions, who've been married multiple times, they want to get into my life. And what rock and roll was always about, you went to the gig before it became about giant screens and being able to tell your friends you went to the gig. It was a cult. It was a culture. It was a lifestyle. You went, you could be free. And right, encapsulated in that one damn song is it. I couldn't say it any better myself. I would play that song. It's like my, you know, it's like my head get four times bigger. I said, this is it. Now, eventually, there was one gargantuan hit off this album, and it was a ballad. You know it. Mama, I'm coming home.
Times have changed and times are strange. Here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home. Better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home. You took me in and you drove me out. Yeah, you had me hypnotized, yeah. Lost and found and turned around by the fire in your eyes. You made me cry, you told me lies, but I can't stand to say goodbye. Mama, I'm coming home. I could be right, I could be wrong. It hurts so bad, it's been so long. Mama, I'm coming home. Selfish love, yeah, we're both.
You can play that on the housewife station. The housewives would love that. The sentiment, the feel, the groove. What's even more astounding is there were three writers on that song, and one of them was Lemmy. You know Lemmy Kilmister from Motorhead? The guy who talks, never mind, sings like he's got a frog or gravel in his throat. Okay? He was one of the co-writers on that. And as much as I love that, I got to play you the song that I like most, which Lemmy ultimately did on one of his own albums. This is Hellraiser.
Mm-hmm.
you like that groove? It's like there's a Mack truck driving at the bottom, going up and down. I don't quite have, I'm not quite thrusting my arm in the air right now, but my feet are going up and down. I'm afraid I got to stop making noise. There's a guitar stand here. I better not hit that, the chair, because that's it. Back before American Idol and Paris Hilton, we would want to be with these acts on the road. Ozzy Osbourne had not been on MTV in terms of his reality show yet. It's like, that is the essence. Now, why was this album so fucking good? Zakk Wylde played guitar on it. Then he moved away from Ozzy. Then they came back together. And they haven't quite equaled this album since. My old buddy, and I mean really old, 25 years ago, I haven't seen this guy in a quarter of a century, Dwayne Barron, who produced the Quiet Riot albums. This is, you know, there's really no connection to the deceased Randy Rhoads and the new Quiet Riot other than there were similar, Kevin Dubrow was no longer with us either. You know, he was same band, but Dwayne wasn't connected for that reason. Spencer Proffer, you know, had a studio called Pasha. He had a label with Epic. He put this stuff out and Dwayne recorded and mixed it. It was produced by Spencer Proffer. Is that why it's so good? But meanwhile, he cut it and it was mixed by Michael Wagner, you know, who's a great guy. But Ozzy got it this one time. I became an Ozzy fanatic. And then all of a sudden I said, you know, all those songs that I heard on the radio way back when, those were good. You know, we all knew Crazy Train. We knew the aforementioned Mr. Crowley, Suicide Solution. But the one I loved, okay? But, you know, I heard it out of my dashboard for decades. I could not get the lyric right. Was Flying High Again. You know that? Oh, now. Oh, phenomenal. As I say, I'm playing this record. I'm like, Epic Records, I'm kissing their butt. You have to understand, I'm not, I love Ozzy. And at this point, you know, then Ozzy, these records are not successful, but he starts Ozfest and he has that crazy MTV reality show, which we have to give him credit for. If you don't know the story, MTV had no idea how successful this would be. And Sharon Osbourne, well, she had a rift with her father and ultimately reunited at the end of his life. He just recently died and he had Alzheimer's, so who knows whether he mellowed a little bit or couldn't understand what was going on. I won't even go into the stories of this guy, but Sharon Osbourne, when it comes to business, she snookered MTV. She never signed the contract. This happens a lot in the entertainment business. The work is done before the ink is dry. So when the show was a really big hit, she raped and pillaged. She made so much money. It was a great middle finger to MTV. And, you know, they had a sense of humor about themselves, you know, either on the show or the hype for one of the albums. You know, we can't give the new albums away. Everything has changed. But if you have not seen Ozzy Osbourne, you are missing out on one of the great treats. I know he looks like he has physical dyslexia. He looks like he doesn't have it, but the guy is truly a genius. And this album is my favorite album. There's not a loser on it. You know, today's album CDs, you can play like maybe four tracks, okay? In this album, the tracks that might seem, okay, I'll play you a bad track, hypothetically, on No More Tears. It's called Zombie Stomp. And that's really damn good. Now, there's another great ballad on this album. I mean, I can't stop playing it time after time.
Mm-hmm.
couldn't read your mind, line after line. Line after line, it was written in your eyes. I guess it's no surprise, time after time.
It's hard to stop playing any of these tracks because they're so damn good. It's like, I'll forever be an Ozzy fan because of this album. I will always give Ozzy a chance. I won't let anybody give Ozzy shit, no matter what you have to say, no matter, you know, what the crazy things the family does, because this one album, if you go back to the Randy Rhoads stuff, it is spectacular. He says he's a huge Beatles fan. You can even hear some melodic stuff. They think it's sludge. You hear the melody in Time After Time? I'm going to leave you with the very last track from the album, The Road to Nowhere. It's like the highway to hell with AC/DC. I want to go on that road because it's a lot more realistic than the bullshit road they're teaching about in college. Everything I know in I learned in college was listening to records, not going to class. So until next time, this is Bob Lefsetz on the RhinoCast.
And now, on behalf of the Skirball Center's Sunset Concert Series, an interview with Sue Hart of Baka Beyond.
So, man in the gym. Bas lemon malai di mama so manangan chim marangu di bas lemon malai di mama.
We're here today with Yatrika Shah Rais, and she's here to tell us about the first in the series of concerts at the Skirball Cultural Center, July 17th, Cheka. Welcome, Yatrika.
Hi, how are you, Rich?
Well, tell us a little bit about the summer series you have at the Skirball.
Well, the summer series are yearly. We've had them ever since the Skirball opened, and we're well into our 12th year. And they are a free series every Thursday night during the months of July and August that feature really music from around the globe. The first concert is on July 17th. All the concerts, by the way, are at 8 p.m., and the doors open at 7. So the first concert is Cheka. And he's a singer-songwriter and guitarist. He's from the archipelago of Cape Verde, which is off the west coast of Africa. And Cheka is an up-and-coming young musician who is fantastic. I mean, you have to watch him play. And he's a wizard at the guitar. And he has really breathed new life into the music of Cape Verde, because what he does is that he takes the rhythms of the batuque, which is a style of music traditionally played by women in Cape Verde, and he transposes them to the guitar. So although he has influences from the Western styles of music and various other styles in Cape Verde, he has tried to really keep the music more Cape Verdean and more Africanized.
So please join us on Thursday, July 17th at the Skirball Cultural Center for the first in the series of their free summer concerts, Cheka. Concert starts at 8 o'clock, doors open at 7. Once again, the admission is free. Hope to see you there.
You've just listened to a Rhino.com podcast. Visit Rhino.com for music, movies, and all kinds of crazy shit.